You know, and getting ready for this morning, I'm thinking 18 message. I think four or five times in the last 20-some years I've preached from Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a dream. His dream turned to a desire. Desire turned to a decision. Decision turned to a dare. You know, I think some of you probably remember that. But in thinking about this, I'm thinking, yeah, what is it? What is it, Lord, that you'd have me speak? Setting goals, you know, having a purpose, and the Lord kept bringing this passage back to my mind, James chapter 4. He kept bringing it back to my heart, back to my mind. Verse 14: Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then vanishes away. It's like you ask the question, who would have known it was going to happen? I mean, it just happened. We talk about some of those things in our prayer time. I mean, you go out, you're in a hurry to get to work, get to church, your car won't start. What on earth? Or your radiator's leaking. How did that happen? Or you go out to get in your car, just parked on the street, and somebody rammed into the side of your car. You can't get your door open. Who was that? How would you have known? Or you show up at work one day, and you realize you were given a raise. Wow, no, nobody knew. Or your tires are slashed, or your windows are shattered, or who would have known that if you went out to get ready to go somewhere, that you would slip on the ice, you were so careful, and you broke your arm, you broke your hip, you broke your leg. How many have had that happen? Let me see your hands. All right. My wife. Micah. All right. Or you woke up and all of a sudden you're staring in the face of the doc and your family, the doctor and your family. What happened? What happened? Well, here's where I am. Wow, it seems like I was just 25 years old. And now, look at me. Where did life go? I mean, it just happened. It was here, and now it's fleeting. Well, James has that kind of thought in his mind. Look at the context here, verse 13. He says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So go to now, he that says. Go to now. It's like, come on. Now, you who are saying this, it's like, hello? Anybody inside there? It's like this is an abrupt way of saying, hey, listen to me, listen up. That's what he's saying. Go to now, ye that say. Actually, the word say is the word lego. It means to say something based on reasoning or logic. It's like, you know, you sound so reasonable. And here's what you're saying. Today or tomorrow, we'll go in such a city and continue there a year and we will buy and we will sell. We'll get gain. You know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, you know, there's nothing wrong with making plans for the future. I don't think this is what he's saying. I mean, you think of the fact that the majority of James' readers were Jewish people. Many of them were entrepreneurs. Many of them were businessmen, businesswomen. Many of the readers of this passage were great planners back in the first couple centuries. Great goal setters. Great visionaries. Great at strategizing for the future. But what's his point? What's the point James is making? Well, the point that he's making here is not that setting goals is evil or making plans for the future is so carnal and sinful. You know, where's your calendar? What are we going to do for vacation next year? Oh, that's so carnal. He's not saying that. Here's the point he's making. The point is, when you make plans for the future, don't forget God. Don't leave God out of your plans. Realize this. Realize that your life is a vapor. It's only here for a split second in the time of eternity. And so when you make plans for the future, don't forget the will of God. Notice what these businessmen were saying. They were saying, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city. The thought there in the Greek is that this is our time. We are choosing the location. And they said, we'll continue there a year. So we'll choose the duration of our stay, and no regard for the fact that God may not want us to go there. I'm a businessman. I've gotten a raise. Everything's better as far as that location. This is my time. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city. And then we'll continue there a year. It's like we're going to choose how long we're going to stay. There's no regard for the fact that God may not want us there, and God may not want us there for that amount of time. Now notice, we're going to continue there and buy and sell. It's like we're going to choose our own business, our own trade, and then get gain, make a profit. Just imagine how much money we can make there. We're going to choose our own goals. This is my time, my location, my duration of time, my business, my market, my real estate, my profit. And yet, there's no regard for God. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Keep your finger here. James chapter 4. Jesus, Luke chapter 12, addressed this type of planning without regard for the will of God. Look at verse 16. Luke 12. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You've got a great investment for the future. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice what God says. But God said unto him, thou, what's the next word? Fool, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Hey, fool, you're not even going to make it to this next year of profit. I'm going to whisk your life away from you. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I mean, you're stuck. You know, these big barns, all this investment, all this. And you're gone. Now who's going to take care of it? So, verse 21, he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Isn't that powerful? So go back to James chapter 4. I think James' response is he gives five things to this kind of businessman's approach. Number one, don't be ignorant about the future. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Hey, you might not be around tomorrow. You know, there's so many ingredients that have to come together to make tomorrow. One ingredient is health. You know what? By tomorrow, you might get sick and die. You might have a heart attack. You might find out you have an incurable disease. Or it's circumstances. You might get in a car wreck. Tree might fall on you, your house. A gunshot may sound from a block away, and your life will be whisked away. You don't know. And you don't know if you're going to be around. You may choke on something and die. I think it's important that when we make plans for the future, we don't forget God. We involve God. We consider God. We place our confidence in God. Psalm 37, verse 3 through 5, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So trust in God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And what? He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To whom? Yeah, to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. How about Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine understanding. Put your faith and trust in God. Don't try to figure it out. In all thy ways, all your choices, all your decisions, acknowledge him. Put him first. And what? He will direct your paths. You know, scripturally, there's a difference between path and paths. Path is your whole direction of life. Paths are your various choices. You put God first, you trust God first, you let his will be your driving force, and do that in all your ways, and he's going to give you wisdom on each choice that you make. So number two, think about the shortness of life. And I'm only going to show you pictures here. You recognize these pictures, any of you? I mean, you think of this, for what is your life? Your life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanishes away. Life is transitory. It's brief. It's short. Here 1 minute, poof, gone the next. It's like the steam coming off your coffee this morning. 1 second it's here, the next second it's gone. One man said to me this week, I can't believe I'm in my 40s now. I feel like an old man. Another has said to me, you know what? Can you believe it, Pastor? I can start coming to the teenagers' luncheons now. How embarrassing. Oh, it's like your breath this morning, a cold winter morning, and 1 minute you see it, and boom, it's gone. It's like a vapor. Brother Chuck Crabtree said to the men yesterday in their prayer meeting with the men, something to the effect that now he's in his 80s, he's ready to hit the pine box at any time. He said that a few times. It's like all of a sudden he's now in his 80s. You're thinking about, it's like you said this morning, your body's going to start speaking to you. I mean, you remember the 30s? I mean, that's when Francis Scott Key's Star Spangled Banner was officially named the United States National Anthem. Remember that? That's when the first public television broadcast began in London. That's when Germany began its persecution of Jews back then. They began to persecute Jews. That's when Germany attacked Poland and World War II started. You were alive. I mean, performance thrills. Back then, hey, here's the big news. You can go from 0 to 35 mile an hour in 6.7 seconds. 60 horsepower. Silent, synchromesh gearbox. Experience the joy of open, top driving without stress or strain. And you could buy a wide range of models, including the Chevrolet 6 Series. You could buy that for, it's expensive, $475. You talk to Brother Chuck, he would say he wants to use his time wisely because he doesn't know how much longer he has. One word is important to him. He said it. Legacy. I want to say to you young people, you know, there are men and women in this auditorium that are in their 60s and possibly in their 90s. full, listen to this, full of memories and full of dreams of their early years. They often wake up with a dream of going up and down a hallway during high school or during their college years. I mean, it's real to me as it is back then, college, before I was married. Going down the hallway, a young lady, a gullible young gal, I said, hey, come here. She came, what is it? I said, I want you to look in here. And inside was a room of about 60 students packed. I said, look, and I opened the door a little bit. Look. She was looking, and I opened the door, shoved her in, and slammed the door shut. I heard the laughing, and I heard her struggling to try to get out. And that's just like it happened yesterday. I can give you stories, by the way. My grandkids love to hear those stories, especially when I get into the World War II stories, which, by the way, I wasn't around during World War II. So, next slide. Think of the shortness of life. It's so brief. It's so short. You recognize these pictures? It's like they're right now. Some of you are nodding your head. Look. And I think what a horrible thing to get caught up on the immediate and forget the eternal. And what a tragic thing to sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. Think about your future is what James is saying. What are you doing in relation to eternity? What kind of eternal values do you have? Remember those? Remember that cell phone? How many had one of those? Let me see your hand. Oh, I did. Had, you know, the big battery pack, carry that on your shoulder, and you're really cool. You know, you got the cell phone. I mean, the Bible compares our life to many things so that we may realize how short it is, how important it is for us to number our days, to plan our life well in the will of God, so we will have a good impact on a world for Christ. Now, let me give you some of the things that God compares our life to. Here, He compares our life to a vapor. Next slide. A vapor. A vapor is a mist that's easily dissipated by the rising sun. All of our plans depend on our life continuing. Did you know that? All your plans are based on what you're going to be 5, 10, 15 years from now. And you're even thinking about investing. It's not a bad thought. You ought to invest. But what a frail and uncertain thing our life is. You may not be around 10, 15 years to experience the blessing of your investment. And who can build any solid plans on the permanence of a vapor or a mist? Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. Soon cut off. And we fly away. Our life is compared to a wind. Job chapter 7, verse 7, he says, oh, remember, my life is a wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good, for he remembereth that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. Our life is compared to a cloud. Job 7, verse 9, as the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house. You're not going to be at your house anymore. You don't experience that nice hot tub. You don't experience that nice recliner. You're not going to experience that nice backyard. Neither shall his place know him anymore. It'll be sold. Someone else will be there. The thought is, as a vapor or wind passes quickly, so does your life. As we cannot stop a cloud, we cannot stop a wind, so you cannot hinder the speedy motion of our days. As a cloud comes to its height and then vanishes, so our life and our full strength. Then our life is compared to a flower. 1 Peter 2:1-24, it says, for all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as a flower of grass? The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Psalm 103, verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So your life is compared to a fading flower, regardless of how old you are. You got many nice things. That's what a flower is like. You got its fragrance. Hopefully you smell good this morning. Hopefully you fixed your hair. There's beauty, there's color, softness like a flower. Job discusses none of these, but only the cutting down of that flower. You've got Job 14, verse 1 and 2. Man is born of a woman. As a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You've got issues. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow that continueth not. Then our life is compared to a swift post. Job 9:25. Now my days are swifter than a post. Actually, in Hebrew, that word post is your postman, your courier. One that delivers a package and boom, he's gone. They flee away, it says. They see no good. As a postman rides swiftly in a hurry, so man's life passes away swiftly. You see, a postman of years ago, actually during that time, would ride on the swiftest of horses. He would change horses every stage to keep up the speed. Would only take a morsel of food at each stop, then speed on. Everyone would give way to the post rider. Job says, my days are swifter than a post. The post rider comes and goes, but my days, my life is going faster than that. You ever feel that way, fellas, ladies? Boy, I do. It's like I go to sign up for something and they want to know your date of your birthday. You know how this is. So I give the day, the month. You go to the year. You got a down arrow. You got 2017 and I keep, you know, I have to go to the bottom and just let it slide, keep sliding. And I'm thinking, man, I'm that old. Look at that. Finally, it comes to my age. And I click on that. Our life is compared to a swift ship. Job 9:25. Now the days are swifter than a post. They fly away. They seem no good. They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hastens to the prey. So you're watching a ship. Many of you have done this. You've been to the ocean. You notice how it passes slowly over the horizon, but all of a sudden you look again. It's gone. It's gone. That's what Job is saying. Your life is like a swift ship. Then he says your life is like an eagle, which I just read. Verse 26, they're passed away as swift ships as the eagle hastens to its prey. See, an eagle is very swift in flying, especially as it swoops in to catch its prey. It peaks in high speed, coming in to get its prey. You see, Job is saying the life of man is compared to that eagle, hurrying to catch her prey. When hunger adds swiftness to her wings, so it's with a swiftness that our days pass away. Hey, question for you. What are you doing for Christ? It's like somebody said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Job says our life is compared to a weaver's shuttle. You've seen these expert weavers throwing that shuttle through, back and forth. Job 7:9, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. A weaver's shuttle is very swift an instrument. And when the weaver has finished his web, he quickly cuts off the thread. So it is that when a man has run the length of his days, appointed by God, his life is cut off from the earth. hey, you realize you're really grown up now and you're 12 years old? You're 14 years old? Hey, you're big. Hey, listen to me. You're 15. Hey, you're about to drive. You realize you may not make it through your 15th year, your 16th year. Your life may be cut off like that swift shuttle, faster than a swift shuttle. You don't know. Job says our life is compared to a shadow. Man, Job 14:1, that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. I read that earlier. Trouble means you've got lots of issues. You know, hey, you're born. Yeah, you're alive. Yeah, you got issues. You're full of issues. You got lots of conflicts. You have lots of afflictions. That's what he says. Man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Psalm 102, verse 11. My days are like a shadow that declineth. And I am like withered. I am withered like grass. Al Smith wrote the song, with eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity values in view, may I do each day's work for Jesus. With eternity's values in view. You have that song memorized, Brother Chuck? Life is short compared to eternity. Here's what he's saying. All right, don't leave God out of your plans. Next thing, number three, we must seek the will of God. Look at verse 15, James 4. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And do this or that. Instead of doing your own thing without giving thought to God, you ought to say this. Instead of living a life without focusing on eternity, you ought to say this. Here is how you ought to live. He says, for you ought to say, for that you ought to say. And so you say it by your words, by your life, your goals. This is your focus. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If it's God's will, we will live. Hey, God controls my future. God willing, I'll be there tomorrow. God willing, I'll go to Hawaii with my wife this week. God controls my future. God willing, I will be back in church. God willing, I'll continue to preach the word. Because God controls my health. He controls my bones. He controls my breath. He controls the very circumstances of my life. And if my plans are consistent with His desires, then it says we shall live. He controls my life. He controls my death. He says we shall live and do this or that. If it's consistent with the will of God for my life, then I will set these goals. I will make these plans. I will strategize this way. God is in control of the direction of my life. I submit to His will. I want to do Thy will, O Lord. Psalm 39:4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Psalm 39:5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Look at you. You want to say that? Some of these professional athletes, just look at you. Look at you strut. You're strutting. Don't you realize that you at your best state are just dirt? You're just vanity? Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Don't you realize that someday you're going to die, and it may be tomorrow, maybe today, and after that you stand before God. So what's the issue of my life? Here it is. Find the will of God and do it. Submit myself to the will of God. Place my hands, place myself in the hands of the sovereign God who made me and controls the events of all my life. God, I am totally in your hands. I want to do everything your word tells me to do. I want to obey you. I want my life to be greatly used of you. I am submitting my eyes to you. I'm submitting my ears to you. I'm submitting my mouth to you. I am submitting my heart to you. So number four, we must not boast in our accomplishments. That's what he said in verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You see, a person who doesn't understand and appreciate the powerful sovereignty of God will boast about how great he is and boast about his accomplishments. He says, but now you rejoice in your boastings. It's like you're very vocal. And the word boasting is your very loud mouth. You speak loudly. You speak loudly. You're boasting about the fact you can run this fast. You're boasting about the fact that you can slam dunk a ball that fast. You're rejoicing in your boastings. That word boastings actually is a word which means arrogance. It's the idea of empty and shallow pretense. Now look at you. You practice, you practice, you practice. See how fast you can dunk that ball. See how great you can hit that ball. See how great you can make it, how far you can make a dollar go. You're talking about it. That's just empty and shallow pretense. That's all it is. It's a word used for fraudulent men who sold you fake goods. He says you rejoice in your boastings. It's like you're bragging about something that you don't have. You're shouting loudly about things that you can't obtain. It's like somebody said, oh yeah, I could have been a millionaire. Oh yeah, I chose... Oh yeah, 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 I could have, I could have, I could have, I could have, I could have. He says all such boasting is evil. That word, all such rejoicing is evil. That word is poneros. It's a title for Satan, evil. And James is saying that all such phony, baloney, fake bragging about things that are not eternal and in the will of God is the same as copying Satan's sin. Number five, James says we must do good. James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a very familiar verse. You know to do good. That word good is means of good quality, morally excellent, worthy of honor. The thought is if a person has a good understanding of the will of God in his life, he doesn't obey God, he's living in sin. Turn back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus told us that a man who knows the will of God and doesn't do it will be punished more severely than the one who doesn't know the will of God and disobeys God. Watch this. Luke 12. Look at verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So what? Here's the so what. What is your life? What are you doing? Here's the so what. Realize the brevity of your life. It's like a vapor. What's your life? It's even a vapor. Here's the so what. Realize the shortness of your life. It's like a vapor that appears for a little time and it vanishes away. You know, he ate the most nutritious foods. He took his vitamins every day. He exercised four times a week. He saw his doctor once a year. He never smoked or drank alcohol. He was ready to live to 100. His funeral will be held Wednesday. His one mistake. He forgot God and lived as if this world was all. And he's now with all who say the harvest is past, the summer ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. One writer said this, but whatever you do, find the God-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-saturated passion of your life. And find your way to say it and live it and die for it. And you will make a difference that lasts and you will not waste your life. He said also, America is the first culture in jeopardy of amusing itself to death. He said, he shook my dozing soul. And through, this is a quote on C.S. Lewis. And he shook my dozing soul. And he threw the cold water of reality in my face. So that life and God and heaven and hell broke into my world with glory and horror. One other quote. You get one pass at life. One pass. That's all. Only one. And the lasting measure of that life is Jesus Christ. So, let's redeem the time. Let's learn to say no to things that replace the gospel. Let's say no, learn to say no to time wasters. Let's learn to say yes to opportunities to serve God. Yes to fellowship with God's people. Yes to opportunities to win people to Christ. Yes to opportunities to be faithful in the Word and prayer. Yes to being faithful in the house of God. Yes to being faithful in fellowship. Yes to being faithful in witnessing. Why is that? Because our life is like a vapor that appears for just a little. Or a short time. But a couple statements and we're done. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then vanishes away. One day. One day you may look back and say, where did it go? Or tomorrow, your life can be like a cloud, like a vapor that's whisked away from you. So here's what we say. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I do want my life to count. Lord, I pray that you'd raise up a body of believers, a whole church full of people that are committed, passionate about doing your will, obeying Christ every moment of every day.